Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 167 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim. It's Kevin. We're here. Hey. We're talking Bad Batch today, but we also have a little bit more to talk about today. Star Wars Outlaws trailer dropped yesterday for the story, and there's lots to talk about there. Tim and I are also on our way to a secret mission into uncharted space. So this will be a faster episode, but we're going to cover Bad Batch and cover Outlaws. We're just not going to lollygag. So, Tim, I'm not going to ask you how your week was. I'm going to assume it was good. And then you won't ask me how my week was. We'll just assume it was good. And we'll get right into King's Coast Coffee.
Perfect. Yeah. I even put it in a special Darth Vader cup today. So, yeah. Aztec roast for all those.
Are you drinking
wondering.
It on the dark side, too?
Yes, I am. Always.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So kingscoastcoffee.com. Make sure you head over so you can shake up way you wake up and check out the that spring surge there. I hear it's delicious. I may or may not be drinking it right now. So kingscoastcoffee.com. If you didn't get your Heck Delvers Do merch from Lab 77, you should probably head over there now. It's Heck Delvers Do.
I get it.
Should we say Folie à Deux because the new Joker trailer's out?
Oh, Joker in La La Land.
Don't start me. We don't have time for that.
My Joker face.
Don't do it.
But things you should do, you should head over to gcxevent.com and get your tickets now. We only have so much time until August 16th and the 17th that are at the Rose and Jingle Creek Resort in Orlando, Florida. We also have our charity marathon. We've got some other crazy stuff that we got to look at yesterday for announcements that will be happening at very soon in the very near future. Got a lot of exciting things for GCX. So stay tuned to the GCX socials, whether you're paying attention on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow us over at GCX Event, GCX everywhere, GCXEvent.com. Get your tickets. Get your hotel rooms. They're selling out fast.
Yeah, we're
selling,
over 50% sold.
Over 50% sold so far, and I don't want to hear you complaining the night before that
I can't get a hotel room.
That's not our fault, okay? That's not our fault. So head on over to gcxevent.com to learn more. I had somebody in chat yesterday say, like, oh, my God, I live in Orlando, and I had no idea that GCX was even a thing. So there it is. More people are learning about GCX every day, which is really cool. It's really neat. So, yeah, don't miss out. Check it out, gcxevent.com.
Yep. All right. Let's dive into it. Let's talk about Bad Batch first.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Wasn't really a
nice filler episode.
It wasn't a filler episode because it was advancing the plot, and that's your definition of not filler.
I know, it was short.
It is the precursor to it was necessary to go do this. I figured Ambor Rampart would have been put to death, but apparently he's in one of the labor camps.
I thought it was kind of funny that he came back. I thought that was great, and then he was him arguing with the Ugnaught. Ignat. I'm like, that's the wrong word. That was really funny. Kind of had reminded me a little bit of Mando. But I mean, this was like an epilogue. You know, like this was like the opening, kind of setting the scene, getting us ready for the finale. You know, we find out that, you know, Tantis, like nobody knows where Tantis is. We were kind of wrong about the tracker. I really thought that Omega had another tracker on her, but I guess we were wrong with that one. So they had to go get Rampart to figure out where Tantus is. He has no idea. Well, he kind of knows where Tantus is, but doesn't really know where Tantus is.
It's more fun this way anyway.
I really wanted to watch him get tortured. I was really hoping that Crosshair was going to waterboard him or something when he's like, I'm only going to give you what you want if you tell me what I want. You know, that kind of crap. I hate that. I wish he would have just beat the crap out of him to, you know, for him to say something. But here we are.
He's like, you would have killed me if you wanted to already. Tempting, but... Yeah. I'm going to say it. I really want live action Wanda Sykes as V.
Yeah,
sure.
I
think she would be so much fun. I love her as a comedian, so...
Yeah. I think she would look so much fun. But Wanda's getting kind of old.
She is. I don't know how that would work.
She's up there. I mean, she was old when I was a kid, so now she's, like, older.
But just the attitude and everything.
Oh,
like,
she's great.
Anything for brown eyes. She's still in love with him, and he's gone.
I know. That's why I think that you're right about him being the mercenary. I really think he is the Shadow Trooper.
Yeah, we had a few people comment yes or no on that over the week on some of the social media.
I'm glad you guys are listening. Proud of you guys.
Yeah. So that was cool. But overall, the biggest part was the ending with Hemlock basically discussing how this process works and why they keep failing, mm-hmm. and that they see it was a decreased M count or was it just degradation?
It was degradation.
Yeah. Okay. So,
which continues to play into the whole Project Necromancer, where we know that the Emperor's clones were, you know, look at Snoke, for example. He degraded, mm-hmm. his shell couldn't withstand all of the cosmic dark side energy or whatever we're going to call that. So I really hope that at some point we get a good breakdown of how that all works.
And we're slowly getting it piecemealed out to us with this, which is really interesting. And I'm excited to see where they take this. Emery is definitely having an internal struggle with all of this big mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was really hoping she wasn't going to be so still pro Imperial mm-hmm. when Omega met up with her, but I think by the end Emery will be on their side, or she'll die, or she'll do some type of like sacrifice. You know, she's like, she understands that Omega's, you know, more important than anything else, so she like gives herself up. I don't know, but I think Emery's gonna play a big role at some point soon.
The way Hemlock treats Omega is so interesting to me, because he's very straightforward and to the point, but he's also very nice to her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
At least verbally. The way she was like, where's Nala Sayin? He's like, she's in a cell. She won't be able to help you escape this time. Mm-hmm. But then he also, like, I don't know if it's a villain complex or something, but he tells her everything.
Yeah, I mean, every good villain tells the idea, he tells their plan before it goes into effect, of course.
It's just interesting that, like, he's not telling the other kids in the vault. He just told her.
Because they're all numbers. They don't have real names. They're not important.
So, I don't know. The way Hemlock's treating her is very interesting to me. Now she's going to live in the vault with the other kids, and I guess they're just going to play with their blood back and forth?
I guess so, but I think she's going to do the whole Andor thing, and she's going to create a rebellion. They're going to revolt.
Yeah, because all the kids can use the Force.
They're all Force-sensitive, uh-huh. I think Omega's little... I think, you know, when we at the beginning of Bad Batch were like, I think she might be Force-sensitive? I think that might happen.
Well, we see a trend in a lot of the new Star Wars media of people figuring out how they can use the Force. We saw it in Ahsoka with Sabine, regardless uh-huh. of whether how you feel about that. It happened.
Hate it.
And I'm one of the people, and Tim's one of the people that did not like it. But it happened. It happened.
It is what it is.
We saw it with Obi-Wan reconnecting with the Force in his show.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be a theme of people, you know, tapping into it in a time of great need. So we'll see where they go with that, but it could be that's how Omega realizes that she can use the Force.
Do we get two episodes next week?
No, we're one episode a week from here on out.
Got it.
But we're officially in the end game starting next week. It's the final four episodes.
Yep.
So if we go back to what Dave did with Clone Wars, that was its own movie.
Yes.
So I'm not expecting that, but it wouldn't shock me if he goes hard in the paint for the final four episodes with like half an hour each. Agreed. To make a 2-hour linear story that you can go back and watch separate from the show if you wanted to. So obviously we're going to figure out where Tantus is. I want to know who Rampart, or not who, but how, what his way around it is.
Like finding Tantus?
Yeah. Is he stringing them along? They obviously have to find it, but How?
He got burned by the Empire. I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's just going to be kind of a self-serving, like, anti-hero. Not even anti-hero. That's the wrong word to use. I think he's just going to be a self-serving, just asshole.
Or maybe Crosshair will get what he wants in the end. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would love that. Just push him off a cliff.
To see the trauma, too, with Crosshair shaking when he was saying, I didn't want to go back.
Yeah, which was totally understandable. I mean, he was really hoping that other people would step up. I mean, we still don't know what happened with Rex. You know, we still haven't seen Rex or Echo. So
yeah, the last time we saw them was on that base, I believe. Was that the last time we saw them?
And the comms have been jammed. They haven't been able to contact them because of Pabu's still under Imperial occupation at the moment.
That really sucked to see, like, our favorite Star Wars vacation resort with a Imperial starship in the sky. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Why do they have to ruin everything?
Mm-hmm.
They should have just built Pabu where the Star Cruiser is and let people just, that's your Star Wars vacation beach situation.
Yeah, I'd go there. I'd vacation on Pabu.
See?
100%. I
guarantee you a lot of people would. But yeah, so overall, getting us from point A to point B, learned a few pieces of information that are relevant to where we need to take the story. Definitely seeing the bow start to get tied on this series of wrapping things up and hoping that... Let me ask you this, since you mentioned Snoke. Do you think we will see one of the deformed clones before the end of the show?
I hope so. We need a nod to something to, like, make sense of the whole cloning operation. Or what happens to Hemlock's research.
It'd also be fun to have a thread that just connects this to the sequels.
Yeah, or even Mandalorian or something. You know, we definitely need it. We need a string to be connected, or it's just, I don't think it's really going to make all. I mean, like, we understand. I think, like, if you really pay attention, you'd get it. But I think we need, like, one big, like, oh moment.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there's one or two of those left in the show. Yeah. But I have a feeling we won't see them until the last two episodes. I think the table's still going to be set in the next two. But I also feel like we're off to the races now. And it did pick up this week. It wasn't boring. The action was fun. Stealing the Imperial transport, which also was a nod to Mandalorian, because that was the entire episode with Bill Burr's character.
Yes, yeah, that was really fun though. That entire race across the bridge was good.
I verified it's not the same planet. No. It's a different planet. That one was more tropical. This one was more barren.
Yep, but definitely shared this. Like, there are similarities there for sure.
Well, it's just a nod to that's how they run their mining facilities. They use prison labor. They use these big transports, same type of bridges, facilities. I loved how lazy that Imperial officer was until everything started going wrong. He had his feet up reading a book, and then he was like, wait, what?
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean there's a problem?
It goes back to Andor. You know, they're fat and happy, and they just feel like that no one can touch them.
Oh, they got touched.
Yep.
They got touched.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for Bad Batch. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And we are back. We're going to talk about Tales of the Empire. The trailer dropped, I think, right after we recorded.
It was Thursday. It was the day after, per usual. Yeah, per usual, we got more Star Wars content after we did Star Wars and Scotch. So.
But this week, we got Outlaws before, so we'll talk about that, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But Tales of the Empire, so we thought we would get Tales of the Jedi Season 2. We got Tales of the Empire instead, which
I love how they cut the logo out, and then Empire comes out. So
good.
No, it was really good.
And it says it's 6 shorts, 2 stories. So it's the story of Barriss Offee, who we know from Clone Wars.
Yep.
Morgan Elsbeth, who we know from Mandalorian. I'm assuming they're 3 episodes each, or maybe they're just telling the stories together.
They might be interwoven. Yeah, for sure. But I love that Barriss is coming back, because we had no idea what happened to her after Clone Wars. We all had the assumptions that we'd see her again in Ahsoka. Because those two, you know, there was like 2 or 3 episodes in Clone Wars where they were like together going through things, and she ends up screwing Ahsoka, and like it was really dark and bad. And so it would have made sense for her to show back up in Ahsoka. But now we get to actually see what happens, and it looks like she does actually become an Inquisitor. It looks like she becomes the apprentice. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like she becomes the apprentice to the Grand Inquisitor.
I don't know if she's an apprentice or she's just being
trained. She's definitely learning underneath him.
100%.
Whereas like the other ones, they kind of just like, there's been a few things when it comes to like the Inquisitors with Vader and whatnot, like their torture and everything, but we've never really seen like their training that I can remember. I know like the in comics that there's some really gruesome stuff that they do to the Inquisitors to keep them like on the dark side, and the punishments they go through.
The Rise of the Red Blade gave away a lot of that. The stuff that she had to go through.
Yep.
We see the Inquisitor from the Tales of the Jedi. Yes. And Soka Short in this,
the one
too.
That has the weird. He almost looks like he looks like the guy from Overwatch. What's his face with the die
Reaper?
Yeah, Reaper. He looks a lot like Reaper to me. So like it'll be cool to see like more of him. Like them. We know that they die to Ahsoka at the end of Tales of the Jedi. On her bit. So that's cool to see that. We get to see other Inquisitors as well. It's awesome to see the Grand Inquisitor again. I love him. He's a great bad guy. I think he got kind of like shit on the way he died. Like it kind of sucks that he kind of just got like kicked over the edge and died like Emperor style. So like overall, like I'm pretty pumped for this. But what I'm really excited for is to learn more about Morgan. Like Morgan shows up in Mando with Ahsoka. We learn that she is with, like she knows Thrawn, but we never like understood the real relationship that they had there. We knew that she created ships. She was a part of like the creation of certain war pieces for the Empire and for Thrawn, but we didn't really know much. So now we get to see her life on Dathomir. We know that she's a Night Sister. But the one thing that I thought was really strange was that in this trailer, we see her use like the same powers that she had when the grandmother or the high mother from the other galaxy, when she gave her the Sword of Towson. When she gets like the black eyes and like all of like the crazy like green flame power. But then she does that again with her like these hook looking sword things that she's using, the commas size. I don't know. She's doing something. But anyways, so she like they like light on fire and she's fighting Grievous. And we know that she's there for the genocide of Dathomir. So she's going to see her sisters die, which also means if you read the. What was the book for Ventress? If you read that book, you know that Ventress was also there on Dathomir during the genocide. So those two being in the same spot at the same time is definitely a possibility. So
yeah,
I would love to see Ventress show
Grievous,
up.
Which is wild.
Yeah, that's going to be really neat to see.
So, yeah, I'm interested in both stories. I love Thrawn when she basically makes the offer and he's like, offer accepted, and just turns and walks away from her. I was like, that is the most Thrawn thing that he could do.
Very much so.
Cool. We made a deal. Goodbye. But Barriss's story intrigues the hell out of me. Cause I lean more towards the mystical fantasy side of Star
Wars.
So to get a peek behind the Inquisitor curtain, I think is going to be that last part where they were like, and now for your final test. Mm-hmm. And he just throws the lightsaber in there and then it's the dome. And then it's just the two people like, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Two men enter, one man leave.
That's what it felt like. Joker-esque.
Thunderdome.
Where?
I can keep going. Aggressive expansion.
There you go, that one.
It's only room for one more. So we're having tryouts.
So overall, I'm very excited. I think seeing hopefully we get more insight into the Morgan Thrawn relationship and the agreements that they've made. Maybe we get kind of like an understanding of why he's going back to Dathomir with the sarcophagi. Always got that one wrong. So maybe we'll get a little bit more intro to that and see what's going on there. And then I don't know if like, will this be the end of Barriss? Will this be the beginning for her? Will we get to see more of her? I don't know. Maybe she'll show up again in Jedi. Maybe she'll be in the third Jedi.
I didn't do my research, so I need your help on this one. And I'm asking for help. This is not a told you so gotcha moment. This is me asking, are there Inquisitors that we don't know their identity that could potentially be Barriss that we've seen in other forms of content? So if you know the answer to that question. Or a theory is fine. Comment on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. Tag me and Tim if you're on Twitter, KMagic101 and Darkness429. And let us know, because I'd be curious if that theory could hold true, that we've seen her, we just didn't know it was her. And now that we've confirmed she was indeed an Inquisitor, which has been floating around for years. Everyone assumed that she became one.
Yep.
This just confirms it. And again, it's one of those things too, Tim, where you wonder, it's like, did the fandom push and get this
to happen?
Or was this the plan all along? Which is fun. I like that.
I'm going to go with both. I'm going to be like, it's probably cool. Like one of those things where like, I wish we could do this, but I don't know if we have the time. And then the fandom's like, we really want this. And like, I guess we'll have to make time for this.
Exactly. So Tales of the Empire, May 4th. So literally we finish. I'm going to see what day of the week that is. We finish Mandalorian.
No, we finished Bad Batch.
Bad Batch on the first. Yes, we finished
right
Bad Batch.
Into,
and then sick. Saturday is Tales of the Empire. So on the 8th, Tim and I will talk about
Tales
of the
Empire. Are we getting all of the episodes?
Or is they it all be... drop at once because they're all shorts. They're like 10 minutes each.
Sick.
So it's probably an hour's worth of content.
Excellent.
And then 3 weeks of guests. And then Acolyte is the June.
Fantastic.
Now let us know when Skeleton Crew comes out. Okay, thanks. Gonna like that YouTube video of Tales of the Empire and move on.
Outlaws. Let's talk about a brand new Star Wars video game.
Tim and I have been very excited about this game. The idea of an open world Star Wars game has been exciting since we had KOTOR 2. That was, I believe, the last open world Star Wars game. You could make an argument for SWTOR, but SWTOR by classification is more of an MMORPG than it is an open world Star Wars game. I would even push back on you using the word open world in SWTOR, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Let's focus on Outlaws. So we get a peek behind the curtain. The most exciting thing and the first thing I noticed was Kira.
Yeah.
Is in the first 2 seconds of the trailer.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited. I wonder what that means. Just like overall, I wonder if she's going to make any nods to Darth Maul. I wonder if Darth Maul is going to be like come up at all. I know he's already dead at that point. He's already gone. But it would be interesting to see like if she brings him up at all. I would love to know what she's doing because the last time we saw her was Solo. And that happens before episode one. No, I was right. Yeah, episode one. Right?
For Maul?
Four. Episode four. There we go. Happens before
for Maul's
four.
Death you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like where Solo was. Solo's before four.
Right before episode four.
So it's right before four, right before Andor, right before all of that. So like that's kind of like the time frame we're in. We know with Outlaws, we got a nod to the timeline of where they are right now. So it's Han Solo frozen in carbonite. So it's after episode five. And is before episode six. Yep. We go to Jabba's palace. We see Han Solo and carbonate. It seems like she might know him too, which isn't a crazy thought. And, you know, you would assume that all of like, you know, these types of, I guess, in cute case, you can call them like pirates or outlaws, would kind of know each other. They kind of all like bump shoulders, I'm sure, with all of their cargo runs and whatnot.
There's five major crime families.
Yes.
So Crimson Dawn, we see the Pikes. and we see the Hutts in this. The two that are missing, let me scroll down, make sure I say everything correctly so I don't have to be corrected, are Black Sun and Kremora. Those are the two that we don't see in the trailer.
Yeah, and Black Sun we get a nod to in Aftermath.
Yeah,
they talk about Black Sun a bit.
In the article, this comes from MSN, Black Sun was very active around this time, as shown in the non-canon Shadows of the Empire multimedia event of the 90s, and was reestablished in Disney's new canon during the fifth season of Star Wars Clone Wars in 2012. With how established Black Sun was, its omission suggests that the syndicate may be being downplayed in the promotional material for a larger role in Kay's story, especially with Sliro, who's that lead bounty hunter guy in the room.
And he's leading a new, that's another crime family, right?
Apparently it's a new and emerging crime syndicate that he's in charge of. I think the name is somewhere in this article.
They mention him at the beginning. Like they even say it because he's like,
Ashiga is the new clan.
They're like, you pissed off Sliro.
Ashiga is the name of his new clan. Ashiga,
okay.
It's going to be an interesting time, interesting story. I love Kay's demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
She's very Han Solo-esque with
very much so. Her and Nyx, very, very fun. I love this little sidekick pet that you get that goes and grabs your blaster. We saw that during the gameplay reveal. It goes out and grabs blasters for her and does like fun little things. It'll be very, very interesting. I also, ND5, I would love to see more of. I want to know more. I know we got to see him in the gameplay trailer, but I would love to learn more about our battle droid friend.
Mm-hmm.
And see how he's going to play out. We got to see a lot of really cool gameplay. They showed off some gameplay. We got to see like the dog fighting, you being in your ship. I love the speeder bike. It's not just a speeder bike. It's also going to be like a jet ski so you can go across water, which I thought was really, really neat. So we got to look at some planets as well. So that one aquatic looking planet that she was on, that she's like jet skiing across, that would look really, really neat.
Did you notice when Kay was approaching Jabba and she made the funny line about how she's surrounded and Jabba didn't give two craps? Did you see where she ended up standing at the end of that clip?
Yeah, she was right over the Rancor pit. And I thought that was fantastic. And she was like, oh, I guess we're not doing that. Like I like the comedy in this. There's definitely a lot of just like fun, funny moments. Like when she's in the cockpit for the ship and she had to lift it up to sit up higher so she could see over the top. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, if you're going to go this route with Star Wars, it's great to get into the mysticism and the Force and all that stuff. But when you get into the bounty hunting and the criminal underworld, you need that Han Solo-esque and Lando-esque humor. She even has one of the pre-order outfits. She looks like Lando. She's got like the blue and the cape and everything. So the story looks interesting. I'm very excited to play through the story. The idea of an open world Star Wars. I will give my few little critiques. Number one, it definitely looks like an Ubisoft Assassin's Creed-esque style animated game. It's not the pinnacle of animation in gaming. But most open world experiences are not, because they have to make the game so massive.
Yeah.
That you can't, it's like you can't have everything in one.
I will say that the PC version, NVIDIA posted pictures after the trailer was released, and it looks a lot better than it did in the trailer. I'm curious to see if it was I don't know who their console partner is. It might be PlayStation. Is it Xbox? I don't remember. It's somebody.
I think it's PlayStation.
Okay, so it might have been captured on console, because the NVIDIA graphics looked a lot better. I noticed a lot of like rough edges and things like that, and I was like, oh, I don't know, this looks kind of rough. And then I went and looked at the NVIDIA pictures. I was like, that looks really good. So that could be, that could definitely be. They might have obligations to their console partner to be like, okay, we have to capture. They did say it was all in engine, and so it looked really interesting. One of the other things that you see at the end of the trailer, which I thought was really cool, is we get to see a Krayt dragon, which was awesome. I think that's gonna be really neat that we get to see a Krayt, and I'm assuming it's gonna be close to scale to what we saw in Mando, because it's definitely bigger than what we had in KOTOR. Which I'm excited to see. And then we have a Sarlacc pit at some point that we have to
where she looks like she's running into the mouth of either a dead Sarlacc or something.
Yeah, wasn't she like sliding down? Yeah, it's definitely like, that's the Sarlacc pit. That looks terrifying.
Yeah, so if you're running into a Sarlacc pit, God knows what's chasing you.
Yep.
The other critique I have is the pricing model.
That was the biggest thing that I saw on the internet. That was the biggest buzz, was the $130.
So that's egregious. So the standard edition is 70. Look, games are going to cost 70 now. I will defend game development in this aspect. I'm not defending C-suite bonuses and all that stuff, but I will defend the fact that games have cost the same for 20 years and they needed a little bit of a price bump to cover costs. Where that money should go is a completely different podcast episode. We're not talking about that today. But the price of a game being $70 at base in 2024, unfortunately, I'm not opposed to that just because of the way, you know, gaming has worked and games were $50, $60 for 20 something years, if not longer. So 70 is base. Okay. Now here's where you'll lose me, because I think $10 increments is what it should be. the gold edition is $110 from 70.
That's a lot.
Two post-launch pieces of downloadable content that expand the story. I'm not happy with the fact that the story isn't in the game in a story game.
Yeah.
I feel like we've learned from Baldur's Gate. I feel like we've learned from God of War. Even when God of War had more content, they were like, you can have it, you know, for free.
Here it is.
So I don't like the idea. This is a very Ubisoft move.
Yeah.
To do this and put two elements of the story behind a paywall instead of just adding them to the game. Even if they weren't done, the timetable wasn't there, all that stuff, whatever. You do get two skins for Kay and Nyx with that price, but skins to me don't justify that cost at all. You're talking to the guy that, like, I bought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles skins in Fortnite, and the ones I bought before that were the Spider-Man ones, so that's how often I buy skins in Fortnite, and that's a free game. Then it jumps to $130. Now, you do get two more cosmetic pieces, still not worth it. You get a cosmetic for your speeder and the Trailblazer, which I'm assuming is your ship. Still not worth it. It does come with a digital art book featuring the concept art and cinematic storyboards it develops.
I don't give a shit.
If you're putting that in there for collectors, the gold edition should be $79.99, in my opinion. And then this ultimate edition, you could justify $99.99 because the collectors will want the book. I understand the book is a physical item, ship, all that stuff. I get that. That would be the pricing model. This gold edition and this ultimate edition is too much money, in my opinion. It's not, it does not justify the cost at all.
If it was something that I could put up on my shelf, like if it was like a physical, like collector's item, I love
like a helmet.
Items. I don't give a shit about a book. Like, I don't need a coffee table piece. Like, I've got my Star Wars books. I've got my little Star Wars library collection going on. But, like, yeah, $130 for not a lot, like, in-game items that I don't really care about. Like, I'm going to unlock stuff throughout the game. There's going to be cosmetics. There's not, like, other, like, cool cosmetics in the game. The only cool cosmetics you get is from buying the premium or super awesome edition. Like, that's kind of... I don't know what else to say other than, ugh. That's like you said, it's a very Ubisoft move, unfortunately. So I will probably end up just like, I'm going to have to buy the extra edition so that I get the pieces of content because I want to know the story. Like I want to be able to, you know, not only stream it and make content around it, but I want to know what's in there because this is all going to be canon. This is all canonical.
And that's why I'm taking my creator hat off, because like for me, this is like, okay, I have to spend $110. It's a business expense and put it aside. And that's the end of it for me and you. We don't care because we can write it off.
Yeah.
And for the average gamer, this is not fair in my opinion.
No, it's not fair at all. And so I really hope they reassess after seeing the negative backlash that they got yesterday. And I assume that they'll continue to get for the next couple of months until we get to release. But I really don't know how much budge they're gonna
give. You could do Ubisoft Plus Premium for $17.99 a month. And beat the game in 2 months, and you'd still be ahead of the game financially, if as long as you cancel it, obviously. So that
is. Do you think that's what they're trying to do? Is they're going to scare people with the price, and then be like, "Here is the cheaper option," and they get you hooked on the subscription model.
Here's why: I don't care about the book like you. If it was a helmet or something, I'd be tempted. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the book.
Yeah,
you get everything in the ultimate edition, so you get all the skins and whatnot. I did this with Valhalla, Tim.
Uh huh.
Instead of buying Valhalla, I just subscribed. And remember, I played it for like a month.
Yeah.
And then I stopped for like 6 months. And then I went back to it.
Uh-huh.
So I subscribed the first month, turned it off.
Uh-huh.
when I stopped playing it. And then like 6 months later, I subscribed for 2 months. So, and this was when it was $14.99, I believe.
Yeah.
So I essentially paid $45 for Valhalla and got all of the skins and all of the DLC and all of the content. So I might do this again.
That might be.
And I think that might be the strategy, is to push them towards, you know, their ecosystem, because I think it's
twofold. Sense.
The grimy reason is because people forget to cancel.
Yeah.
The non-grimy reason is data collection and whatnot that they want from, you know, you, and to be able to sell you more in the future. I did that with Far Cry too. I bought a month of the Ubisoft Plus Premium. I downloaded Far Cry 6. I didn't really like it, canceled it, and stopped playing Far Cry 6.
The more that we talk about this, the more I feel like they gave an outrageous sticker price to give people shock, to then give them a cheaper option to then loop them into the ecosystem. That makes a lot of sense. And that's really like scary marketing, not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. No, it's genius, like it. From the person that brainchilded it from a marketing perspective, but I don't like the scummy... kind of
like the Bungie approach. You know, they're like, you could buy this collector thing if you don't want to do it in game for $250,000, or you could go sit in our game and grind it out, and then you get the code to then buy it for cheap. Like, it works.
It does work.
People want the thing, so they'll work hard. They'll go do the other thing to get it.
We've said it a million times. The most popular game in the world right now is free, and it makes the most money. Process that. Do with that information what you will. But all of that aside, I am excited to play this through this story. I think it's going to be a fun story. I think it's going to be a fun ride. I'm hoping that as long as this game is successful and doesn't have issues, it sets a precedent that more open world Star Wars games can be successful. And you know me, I'm a huge supporter of single player and co-op experiences. So I'm all about this moving that needle. To make way for more, you know, when we talk about games and the impact they have on us personally, yes, Fortnite was a time and a place in gaming, but that you as a creator and folks creating community around Fortnite was what made it popular. Helldivers right now, it's so popular because people are creating community around it and literally telling a story that the devs are like, sure, we'll go with your story. It's more fun than the one we wrote, and perpetuating it. And that's awesome. And I know that's not going to happen with a single player game, but your memories of playing games, always you remember these single player experiences. You talk about all the time. You talk about crying at the end of Death Stranding. I talk about how emotional God of War made me. I talk about crying at the end of Red Dead Redemption 2. So it's stories like that that kind of leave a mark on you. Yep. And although this game looks like a lot of fun, I do hope it has the emotional connection at some point in the story to, you know, really make it a memorable experience. So we'll find out soon enough. August 30th. The day before my wife's birthday, thanks Ubisoft. That means I can't play day two. Well, actually, if I do subscribe, I can play 3 days early. So that's in the Gold and Ultimate Edition as well.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So I guarantee you,
there's
Tim
so many catches. Why don't you just go? You have to subscribe. You just like, I might as well just subscribe to Ubisoft for a month.
Do it and wrap it up in 2 months. That's my recommendation. But that's going to do it for today. Tim and I need to hit the road.
We have to announce the release date, though. You said August 30th, right?
August 30th.
Okay.
August
30th. All I heard is that. It's before my wife's birthday. And I was like, wait a second. I don't know if people know when your wife's birthday is.
My wife's birthday is the 31st, for those that couldn't figure that out. August 30th is the release date for Star Wars Outlaws. May 4th is the release date for Tales of the Empire. And we have four more episodes of Bad Batch, the final season. And Acolytes June 5th, if we're still...
God. Oh, what a great time to be a Star Wars fan. There's just so much
Star
Wars.
Well, we did go through just like 3 months of not so great time to be a Star Wars fan. Well, let me rephrase. Not being a Star Wars fan. Being a Star Wars fan is great. We went through a period where having a Star Wars podcast was difficult.
Yeah, it was some drought. But now we're good.
We're set for a while. And I am going... I will report back to Nick next week. I know Tim's experienced this. I am going to... I'm taking my kids to Disney. It's my daughter's 5th birthday. This week, so I will be taking off work. But Saturday, I'm gonna go to Oga's Cantina. I got a reservation, so it'll be my
first
time.
Can't wait to
hear
your review.
I think I'm gonna get a fuzzy tauntaun for a drink.
It's so you should get that one, and then also the what was the other one that I got? The Ewok one, the one from Endor. God, there's a couple of them. They're really good. Like, honestly,
Danielle and I are gonna get different drinks so we can try each other's, and then Audrey's gonna.
There's also
get
collector's cups. So I showed you the tiki cup that I got. Yep. That was the Ewok one. They also have a flight. So if you're going to do beer, but it's a Rancor tooth flight, which is awesome. And you get to keep it. And it's like four or five different like little Rancor teeth that you can drink out of. It's totally worth it.
All right, cool. All right, well, I'll let you all know what I think of Ogus Cantina next week. But Tim and I are out of here for this episode of Star Wars and Scotch. We thank you so much for listening and hanging out. Please rate, review, subscribe. We are Star Wars Scotch everywhere on the internet. Tim is Darkness429 everywhere on the internet. And he streams most days of the week on Twitch, YouTube. Those are the two main places where you can go check them out. And I'm KMagic101. I stream twice a week, Wednesdays, Fridays. Not this week because I'm off. But you can check me out on Twitch, YouTube, or LiveSpace. Tim loves mentioning that I'm on LiveSpace.
I mean, like, you got to, dude. I mean, it's like it's up and coming. I think LiveSpace could do pretty well.
Is it it? We'll see. But please and thank you, as always. Tim, take us out.
May the Force be with you, friends.
Always.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.